Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode comes from a guest speaker at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for this week's episode.
In Luke chapter 4, a young man who was just beginning his ministry went back to his hometown to preach. And today we are privileged to have a young man who is just beginning his full-time ministry come back to his hometown to preach. Shane Kennedy has just concluded his studies at Oklahoma Christian in the area of youth ministry, graduated in December, and since that time has been serving as the youth minister for the Wilbarger Street Church of Christ in Vernon, Texas. And as is our practice, we want to invite the young men of whom we are so proud who are going into full-time ministry to come back and speak to the home folks. Shane was scheduled on that fateful Sunday in December when we were iced in and did not have services. So we told Shane to work us in, and so this is the earliest he could get to us. And so we're delighted today to have Shane Kennedy preach the gospel to us and welcome him back as one of our own. And Shane, what happened in Nazareth after the young man went back, they tried to throw him off a cliff, if you'll remember, as a result of that. And I trust that will not be your reception today. But Shane Kennedy.
Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here today, and I'm glad that you are here today. It's always good to come back home and to be in my home congregation and to worship with family. Well, as Larry said, I'm now the youth minister at the Wilbarger Street Church of Christ in Vernon. That's still weird for me to say that I'm a youth minister now. I'm still getting used to being an adult and just having responsibility. But I'm not that far removed from being a college student. As you said, I graduated in December from Oklahoma Christian University. And now that I've graduated, I've had a chance to kind of look back at my time in college and just kind of see how those years, what purpose they served in my life, and how God worked on me during those years. And as I looked over those years, I realized that really I've grown a lot. That was a tremendous period of growth for me. And God really shaped me and formed me during that time to make me who I am today. And I feel like I just learned so much during that period that I just have a wealth of knowledge and wisdom now. And I feel that it would be selfish of me to keep that to myself. So this morning, I've cleverly entitled my sermon, What I Learned in College, so that I could share that with you today. The first thing that I want to share with you that I learned in college is that God wants us to live in community with one another. And what I mean by that is that God wants us to live in close relationship with one another, sharing each other's lives, loving one another. When you go to college, if you live in a college dorm, you're kind of forced into a setting of community, whether you like it or not. You are forced to live in close contact with other people. There's good things and there are bad things about that. The good things are you get to know other people really well. The bad things are you get to know other people really well. You get to know their messes and their noisiness and all the other things that can annoy you. But you also form good, lasting relationships with people, relationships that honor God and that are a blessing to my life. I look back at that time and the relationships that I formed and the community that I got to live in, and I just see that God was showing me that community can be a blessing in your life, and that is the way that he wants us to live. I think that is the desire for his church, that he wants us to live in community with one another. I have so many great memories of times that I bonded with my friends and just where our relationships grew. We had several crazy misadventures during college, as many people do. And one of those misadventures that sticks out in my mind, I want to share with y'all today. It's about a time when me and my friends tried to catch a possum. So what happened was we were in a dorm. It was my sophomore year. We were in dorms, and your doors to the dorm opened up kind of to the outside, kind of like a motel. And we discovered that on the second floor of our apartments, there was a possum living. And our hall director told us that if we could catch that possum, he would buy us a pizza. So being poor, hungry, male college students, we thought that was a great opportunity. So we decided to keep a lookout for that possum. Well, one night, my friend Joey sees the possum, and he chases him upstairs and chases him into his hole. So we got him in his hole now, so we know that we got him now, that we know that we can just sit near that hole, and we can stake him out, and when he comes out, we'll be ready to catch him. So we decided we're gonna do a stakeout. There's six of us, and we were going to take shifts two at a time. And so me and Joey, we took the first shift, and we were sitting there for about 5 minutes, and we thought it would be a long time before the possum came out, because we had been pretty noisy, and he had just got chased into a hole. We figured he was pretty scared at that time. He was probably going to stay in that hole. But we were there for only like 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, the possum pokes his head out. And my friend Joey, he tells me to be quiet, and all we have is a baseball bat. And all of a sudden, I just get these huge feelings of guilt. Like, am I really going to beat a possum, a defenseless animal, to death with a bat? And I just couldn't do it. So I came up with this great idea. I thought maybe if I just lightly dropped the bat over the possum's head, maybe it would just stun it to where we could grab it. Yeah, that's a great idea, isn't it? So I dropped the bat. It misses the possum. The possum gets scared, runs back into this hole. So like, well, now it's going to be a really long time before that possum comes out again. I mean, there's people out here dropping bats on his head. He's not going to want to come out for a while. So we go downstairs, go to our rooms, and we retool. We get some new weapons. This time we get a cardboard box, a little more humane than a baseball bat. So we go back upstairs, and we're literally sitting there for like 5 seconds, and the possum starts coming out again. And my friend Joey, he tells me to be quiet, and it's kind of like a grassy area. We're kind of behind it and a little elevated above it. It was underneath some cement, and it's crawling out into this grassy area, and it kind of just slowly scurries out. And it's got a little bit of a limp, which I found out now that a limp can be a sign that it has rabies. So it would have been nice to know that now. But it kind of limps out, and my friend Joey is slowly walking out behind it with the cardboard box. And right when it gets to the middle of the grassy area, the possum turns and looks at us, and I see it in his eyes. He knows something fishy is going on. And all of a sudden, he's about to take off, and my friend Joey slams the box down on top of the possum, and we catch the possum, and my friend Joey lets out this loud, banshee scream that it was so loud that my friends on the other side of campus can hear it, and they come running. So we flatten another cardboard box, and we slide it underneath, and we tape it all up with duct tape, and then we take it to the park to release it. And we saw an armadillo there, so we released it next to the armadillo so they could be friends. And they scurried off into the forest, and they lived happily ever after. The possum's not injured. So that's a crazy, ridiculous story. But that time that I spent with my friends, how crazy it was a time where we grew closer to one another. They talk about when men go into battle, the camaraderie that they form together, and that they just become closer. We went into battle that night against that possum. And we came out victorious, and we were closer because of that. We had a bond. We will always share that memory. That will be a memory that we will always have together. I have countless stories like that from college to where I just had times where I did stuff with my friends. We shared in each other's lives, and we just were a part of one another and grew closer to one another. And I think that is God's intention for us. He wants us to live in close community, not necessarily catching possums, but he wants us to live in close community and share in each other's lives. If you have your Bible today, turn over to John 17, verse 20. Now this passage that I'm going to read, this is Jesus' prayer while he's in the garden, right before he's arrested. So you know that on his mind, he has to be thinking about his upcoming death. And this is how he ends his prayer. Let's listen. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you. They know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. think it's a cool prayer. Jesus prays that we can be one as Jesus and God are one. The most perfect, holy, sacred relationship that we know is the relationship between Jesus and God. And that's the relationship that Jesus desires that his followers have in between each other. That's a big deal. Let that sink in. I mean, the best relationship that we know is the relationship that God wants for us. He wants us to have the relationship. He wants me to have the relationship with you, and you have the relationship with the person across the room. The type of relationship that God and Jesus have together. That's a big deal. God wants us to be in close community with one another. He wants us to share in each other's lives. And you see in that passage that Jesus says, and that's how the world will know me. That's how the world will know Christ, is through our unity and through our love. So the extent to which we love one another, the extent to which we live in that close relationship that mirrors God's relationship with Jesus, that is the extent to which we reflect Christ to the world. So if we fail to live in that close relationship, if we fail to live in that close community that God desires, then we fail to reflect Christ to the world. I want to encourage you to value community, to value the relationships you have with one another, to share in each other's lives, to allow people to come into your home, even when it's messy, especially when it's messy, to share the struggles that you have, the pains that you have with other people, to not put on a facade when you come to church, but to be vulnerable and let people know what you're dealing with so you can share in those experiences together. I can remember very distinctly one of my friends telling me that his parents were going to get a divorce. And going through that time together with him, that brought us closer, sharing that struggle together. And that's what it's all about. God wants us to live in close community with each other, with one another, where we share in our struggles, we share in our pains, and we also share in the good times. So that was the first thing that I wanted to share with you today that I learned in college, that God wants us to live in community. So the second thing I want to share is that God wants us to take care of ourselves. Whenever you enter college, you experience a freedom that you haven't had in life before. One of the ways you exercise that freedom is by when you go to bed at night. Whereas in high school, you might go to bed maybe around 10 or 11. In college, it's more around 2 or 3 in the morning. At least that's what it was like for me. I quickly learned that could have a negative effect on both your body and your grades. It's a little challenging to wake up for an 8 o'clock class whenever you've only had 4 or 5 hours of sleep at night. I learned to value rest in college. There was a big difference between me as a senior and me as a freshman. When I was a freshman, I would stay up very late all the time. When I was a senior, sometimes I'd go to bed as early as 8 o'clock. I was often made fun of how early I went to bed. But I began to value rest, and I saw that God wants rest for his people. If you look at the Israelites and that God gave them the Sabbath, the day dedicated to rest, you can see that God values rest. And it's not just that it renews you and refreshes you, which it does, and those are both really good. But also, if you look at the story of the manna and the quail and how God provided the manna for the people in the desert, he said you're supposed to gather just enough manna each day, except for on the sixth day, you're supposed to gather twice as much for the seventh day. And on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, you don't gather any manna. So part of having that day of rest is to trust that God will provide for you, to trust that you don't have to be busy, you don't have to continue to provide for yourself and continue to gather things. You can just have rest and trust that God's going to take care of you during that rest. He wants us to remember the ways that he provides for us and the ways that he blesses us. And when we stop, we're required to trust in him. We're required to know that even though we're not working, he's still going to take care of us, that we don't need to continually work for that. So rest is important. And I learned that in college, that God values rest. Another part of taking care of yourself is watching what you put into your body, watching what you eat. As a college student, college students aren't really known for having the healthiest diets. I do not know how many Taco Bell burritos I ate in college, but I would be willing to guess that it's probably over 250. And I'm ashamed at that point, but it's probably true. One time, me and my friends thought it was a good idea to each eat one Little Caesars hot and ready pizza by ourselves. That was a bad idea. I will not do that again. Also, you tried a lot of different crazy food combinations while you're at college. Many of you know Rusty Klamath. He was my sophomore roommate. One night we had some Cool Whip, and we're like, I want some Cool Whip, but we don't have anything to put it on. And so Rusty's like, well, here's some microwavable bacon. Why don't we put it on that? And so we tried microwavable bacon with Cool Whip. Another bad idea. I cannot even describe that experience. That's something you'll have to go home and try yourself. It's just a lot of flavor, a whole lot of flavor. But I also learned in college, not that you need to watch out how you, the things that you physically put into your body, but you need to pay attention to how you're spiritually fed. I struggled through college being consistent and taking time for God, taking time for prayer and to be in His Word. There was times where I did really good, where I was very consistent, and times when I wasn't. And you could see it reflected in my life. You could see that in those times where I was spending time with God, that I was a more focused person. I looked more outward. I was less selfish. I looked to see how God could use me to minister to others. And when I wasn't consistent in my time with God, you could see it reflected in my relationships with other people and with God, that they suffered because of that. God wants us to take care of ourselves. He wants us to have rest. He wants us to be spiritually fed. So that was the second thing that I learned in college. The third and final thing that I want to share with you today that I learned in college is that God knows what He is doing. God has a plan for us. It is amazing when I look back and just see how God formed me and shaped me into who I am today. The people He put in my life, the experiences He gave me, the opportunities I had, it is amazing that He knew what He was doing. I can see that He had a clear plan in my life. I think of opportunities like I got to work doing summer youth internships with Chris Roby. I did 3 summers in a row. That's a rare opportunity, but now when I look back at that, that was some of the best ministry training I could have received, just working with Chris Roby and John Knox down there in Granbury. It was a time that was very formative for me. I look back at before college. I look back at some of the people that I see in this audience that taught me growing up in Bible class or just were present in my life. I think of old youth ministers that I have, and I think of my parents and my family and how they formed me and how they just shaped me to become who I am today. God has a plan for you. God knows what He is doing. I know a lot of times we look back at times. I think a lot of you can relate to that. You look back and you see how God was at work. I think it's easy to look back and do that, but I think it's a little bit harder to apply that to the present, to realize that we need to be open now to what God has planned for us, to realize we need to be open to how He is forming us and shaping us now. That's really what my sermon's all about today. I want to encourage you to be open to growth, to be open to how God is teaching you today, the things He is trying to tell you, whether it is that you need to, whether it is that the community is important, or whether it is that you need to take care of yourself, or whether He just wants you to know that He is in control and He has a plan for you. That's my message for you today. Be open to growth. You're never too old to grow. There's never a point to where we are fully grown. I mean, we're all striving to be like Christ. If you aren't exactly like Christ, there's still room to grow. So that's my encouragement for you today. I just want to thank you for listening to me today. Thank you, Larry, for letting me come and speak to you. This church has had an impact on my life. I just want to thank you for that.